Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere. It is a Friday edition of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, because 4 hours a night are not enough in the overnight. 8 days a week. 8 days a week here from the Magic Podcast Studio, even on the extended holiday weekend. But I have learned from years past that there's actually more need for audio content on the holiday weekend because of Thanksgiving, people trying to get away from family, going on walks, going shopping, you know, the whole thing. So we are here. I debated whether to be here this weekend, but we were here. And we will have the debut on Saturday's podcast of the new official rubber-stamped sidekick for the Fifth Hour. That'll be on Saturday. But today it's all me, but it's not me, because we get to talk to someone who I find interesting. Someone who either I know in work or I want to talk to. And this week we talked to someone who I have known for several years now, who is part of our Fox Sports Radio family. And you might not know, if you're not a big radio nerd, how much stuff goes on behind the scenes to get everything ready, prepped to go on the air and all that stuff. And this guy works his tail off. I call him the glue guy at Fox Sports Radio. And his name is Alex Teichert, and he joins us. I call him the vegan. And Alex, welcome to the Fifth Hour podcast. I do call you the glue guy. How would you describe your job? You don't work on my show. You work on the shows before me, but I talk to you every single night before the show.
We do, Ben. We have a fun ritual every time I dial you up for your show to take over the airwaves everywhere. I always dial you up, and I say down the line, big ol' bladder.
Yes, and then I respond
here
by saying,
we go, vegan, here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, as an homage, as a tribute to your vegan lifestyle.
Yes.
And one of the highlights, Alex, as you know, when the COVID thing became a big deal and they shut everything down and we didn't have sports, and so I was looking for content, and we had you pop in for Ask the Vegan.
Yes.
One of the greatest segments in the history of Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, man.
And we picked your brain, and you're still... It's got to be a tough weekend here. I know Thanksgiving has passed here.
Right.
But as a vegan, the highlight, the star for many in Thanksgiving is the turkey.
Yes.
And you're not a turkey guy.
No, actually, fun thing about that too, Ben, is I always was a turkey guy growing up. The gravy on top is probably the secret remedy to making it that much better. It's like In-N-Out. I don't know if you knew this, Ben, but I worked at In-N-Out for a little bit too.
I did not realize that.
Yes.
Yeah. What was your job? Were you the fry guy in In-N-Out?
So I made it to fry guy. The fun thing about In-N-Out is there's levels to it, Ben. Everybody starts at the bottom, which is like basically customer service, cleaning up tables, going around and cleaning up the area and establishment, eventually work up to being a guy behind the cashier. And then you go up to being like the potato guy in the back, the fry guy, the board guy, the cook guy, and then eventually management. I made it to fry guy, Ben, so you are right. I was the guy dipping the fries.
Yeah. Well, and In-N-Out Burger, which is great and wonderful and all that stuff, the synergy in the kitchen.
Yes.
Very impressive. You do not see that at all the fast food establishments.
No.
But In-N-Out Burger, there's a really, it's a team.
It's true.
Burger.
It's funny, too, because, Ben, out of all the jobs I've had, not only is that the one job I think that they take the employment factor to the extreme, where they actually take care of everybody in a great way, they have, like, a fair once a year for their employees, Ben. Did you know this?
We used to do that back in the old days, but
oh,
they stopped
right.
doing that a long time ago.
Yeah, you guys had chocolate fountains, ice statues. I remember all that.
Oh, give me a tell. When I got in, I'm lucky that I got into Fox Sports Radio in the days when they still were just, and really it wasn't Fox, it was the Premier Network
right.
that was just letting it rip. Every year, gala, Christmas party in Beverly Hills, they flew everyone in from all over the country, all the big radio stars. And as a radio nerd, Alex, to be at the same party with Art Bell and
Oof.
Dr. Laura, these are heavy hitters in radio. Matt Drudge I met one year, he did a syndicated show. for Premier. Jim Rome was the big star of the Premier Networks, and all these big heavy hitters they'd bring in. And this guy Craig Kitchen, who was the president, he'd get up there. Everyone, he'd wear a tuxedo, and it was crazy.
Holy moly, man!
Now you're lucky if you get an extra bag of chips out of the vending machine.
Well, I got breaking news for you, Ben. The vending machine is broke at the moment too. So.
I heard about that. Now, who broke the vending machine? Somebody had. I don't think the machine broke itself. You were there a lot. Did you notice any kind of illicit activity around the FSR vending machine?
So, Ben, I have theories, and I believe that it might have been somebody that works with your team on the overnight show, Ben.
Is that right? Would you like to give the initials of who might be responsible there?
It might be something that rhymes with Oopaloop.
Interesting. So you believe there's a chance that somebody, we'll call them the Oopaloop,
yes,
went on a rampage,
yes,
against the vending machine. Now, there is a camera that is positioned to
yes.
focus on the vending machine. They don't.
Yes.
They take security very seriously at our company, Alex, right? They do not want anyone stealing a 75-cent bag of M&Ms.
No.
I think it's up to a dollar now.
It's actually a dollar now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it might be more. They raised the price. When they first put that thing in, they remember they bought it was like a 1980s vending machine? And they had 1980s prices for all the snacks.
Yes. I still remember that. The best part, too, is it always sounds like it's a airplane about to take off. It would heat this like cooling system initiation for the sodas at the bottom. And so we would have to actually close the studio door because we like to leave it open for air and stuff. But we'd actually have to close it because it sounded like it'd be taking off in about 5 minutes. It was hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think what happened was they called somebody up and said, hey, we need a vending machine.
Yep.
And they said that the company's like, well, we have these lean vending machines, the top model, you can't even hear them at all, and they're really just wonderful. And then they put a price on that. And so then whoever at the company is like, okay, well, what? I don't really have that kind of money. It's not in the budget. So what do you have in our price range? And they say, well, we can go in the back. You know, it's like it's like when you go shopping at the for a TV or a refrigerator. And I'm not ripping anybody. I do the same thing. There's a big furniture store out in, Mathis Brothers in Southern California?
Yeah.
Great store. Very expensive. So what I'll do is I'll go there and I'll make the walk all the way to the back where they have the discount section. They're trying to get rid of stuff.
Yes, yes.
And that's where I start. That's always where I start, Alex, because
genius.
I say, let me see if I can get a deal here.
Right, right.
And then I'll work my way back to the more expensive stuff.
That's funny. My mom is the same as you. She is I would say low tier, top quality businesswoman in a sense of knowing where every deal value aisle is in any store you go to. It's impressive, Ben.
Yeah. Well, you learn that as you become more frugal. I'm El Cheapo is my nickname. Not El Chapo. El Cheapo,
El Cheapo
is
huh?
my nickname.
Okay.
Yes. Very, very frugal. But yeah, years of radio. I've never made the big money in radio. So I like to make the big money. I think I would still be thrifty.
Smart.
I wouldn't be on a shoestring budget or anything like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
I would, I'd still shop on the dollar menu, but I would occasionally splurge a little more.
Sure. It's like the end sense. To me, it makes sense. There's a lot of people who have a lot of money. And how do they stay in money, Ben? It's because they don't spend a lot of money or they try not to. So they consume the wealth, hold on to it, and then use it like you said, a Rob Parker type who goes to the El Pollo Loco right here and they up the prices for a soft drink from 75 to 80 cents and he flips out for 5 cents but buys a $500 backpack. So
yes, yes.
Makes so much sense.
We had Rob on the podcast and he told
Did you really?
Yeah. We had him a couple of times. He told a wonderful story about flying to the World Series in Atlanta. It's one of the great stories ever told. He bought a Spirit Airlines ticket, which is dirt cheap.
Yes.
And they charge for everything. Like, if you want to bring a bag, they charge it. So he didn't bring anything other than the smallest bag that was allowed as a carry-on. He flies to Atlanta. He then goes out to buy a few clothes to wear for the weekend at a discount store, right? One of those dress-for-less type things.
Right.
So he buys a few things to wear. He goes, covers the World Series, and on the way back, he's flying the discount airline, and because, it's a money-grubbing, low-ball type situation,
right.
You can't put any clothes. So all the clothes he bought, he just left in the hotel room and put a sign. He drew a little note saying, hey, for the person cleaning the room, if you want these clothes, you donate them to charity.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. That I can't get away with that, man. I told my wife, I said, listen, let's travel like Rob Parker. She said, no, I like to bring my clothes with me when I travel.
Oh, my gosh. You know what's funny is he takes the extreme of how a lot of people, especially the ladies out there, overpack where they need five outfits per day. Yeah. He told himself, I'm taking nothing and leaving with nothing.
Yeah, he just went out, bought a couple pairs of underwear, bought a couple shirts one or two. I don't think he was there that long.
Right.
Well, I got to tell you, the way inflation's going right now, Tyshawn.
Oh, Ben.
This is the way of the future here. The Rob Parker model is the way of the future with these prices swelling, this infestation of inflation.
I think he's using his talents wrongly, Ben. I think he needs to go out there and be like one of those gym buddies so everybody has like a personal trainer. Rob needs to be a personal spender for you and show you how to get through with everything and to curve the curving of the inflation.
Now, you, as far as the story you told about him going into the El Pollo Loco and the thing goes up 5 cents, he says, what the hell? I was the same way. Back when I was a bachelor and I would go around, and I did not have the healthiest diet, Alex. I did not.
Big Ben, no way.
Yes, hard to believe when I was way, way obese that I ate a lot of bad stuff. So I don't eat that great anymore. I just don't eat much.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We'll get to that in a minute. But okay. I go to the Wendy's. I love Wendy's, the chicken sandwich at Wendy's, the combo
with
the chicken nuggets on the side. With the fries, wonderful. So I'd go there, and I knew exactly, and this is back in the days I paid cash, so I brought just enough to cover the meal. I knew exactly how much it was.
Exact change, right?
Exact change, okay. Right? And I'd eaten there on the regular once or twice a week, so I knew exactly what the price was for my meal. I didn't change the order. I'm a creature of habit. I got the same thing, and I'd go in there and the drive-through, and I did all the calculation. I'd already done that. And then all of a sudden, they're like, the price is blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, no, that's not the price. I know exactly what the price is. And they're like, well, no, we raised our prices. Or the taxes would go up. They'd raise the taxes, being in California, taxation without representation in California.
I wonder how that worked last time.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'd get upset. And this happened like multiple times. I'd have the math, and then it would be, all of a sudden, it would be algebra. You know, calculus or something. It was because they screwed it up. And every once in a while, I wouldn't even have enough money. I'd only bring the right amount of money to buy the said food items.
Holy moly.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Craziness.
You know what's funny is, like, that's the one thing that happened in In-N-Out, too, when I was there. We would progressively sometimes have to increase annual prices to consistently bring the service to provide for the customers that they wanted. And it's funny, as you said, it's just because taxes went up on stuff. So their meat plants had to pay a little bit more, the potato place, the bun place, which people don't know this, Ben. In-N-Out, they got all of their stuff by themselves. So they actually had their own bakery that they sponsored, their own butcher shop, their own potato farm. They did it all themselves. I thought it was really cool.
Now, when I lived in the San Gabriel Valley, which I did for a while, there was an In-N-Out University. Did you ever have to go to In-N-Out University?
So,
right
no.
off the 10 freeway.
Yes. So, basically, that's the spot you go to once you hit level 7, which is basically the
level
top.
Seven. Yeah. What is this like?
There's
this
levels.
Is like the, what's that, Tom Cruise Scientology.
Yeah.
You get to level 7, they unlock the special
Scientology.
Code.
That's so funny to me. Basically, you start as a level 1, climb up your way to level 7. Then after 7, that's when, like, the big honchos and the black suits and the black sunglasses come to your house at night. And they're like, listen, we would like to bring you into management. Would you like to join? So that's where you go to that academy, Ben, when you want to do management stuff.
That's wild.
Isn't it?
I love In-N-Out. I'm not saying this to rip In-N-Out, but when I went to the gym back before the despot leader of California shut down all the gyms, and I used to go to a 24-hour gym. It was great. I'd go after the show.
Yes.
I'd hang out with my old friends that show. I had a group of friends. I'm not very social when I go out. I'm an introvert. I don't talk to many people. You're more of an extrovert.
Yes.
But so I go to the gym, and I knew the few people, and usually because they talk to me, not because I talk to them, and so they became friends. And usually older people go to the gym early in the morning when I was there.
Right.
And so there was a guy in there, and he had worked at In-N-Out Burger for like 30 years or something. I mean, his whole life. He was, he started as a kid in high school and worked, all the way through. And they got rid of him, and he was so upset. He claimed that because he was making too much money that they got
no
rid of
way.
Him. Yeah. Yeah. He had risen up the ranks of the restaurant. He was convinced because he got to a point where his salary was so high. You can make a fair amount of money, though, right?
Ben.
I mean, once you rise up, it's more money than some of us make in radio.
Ben, I've heard whispers, and I talked to the store manager at Store 48, where I worked in Norco back in college days. Yeah. She was telling me that if you get up to management level and get one of those red aprons, the ones that are the store managers, you're making about six digits just to manage an In-N-Out.
Wow.
It's insane, my guy.
It's a very... I think that's more stressful than what we do.
It is.
People say that, oh, you got to do a radio show and you got to, you know, you got to be there exactly at this time and finish talking at this time. And I'm like, yeah, I've done it in a long time. But I go to these and restaurants. You mentioned how crazy it is in the back. They're making the fries and the burgers and all that stuff. But it's a nonstop. You're on, if you do the rush hour and in and out, it could be not just lunch. It's overnight.
Yep.
People going for a late night snack and it's intense in there, man.
Oh, for sure.
You can't F up, and you're messing with food. You mess up a burger, Teicher. Holy Moses, what's going to happen?
And that's the thing, too. They have that motto where the whole customer is right thing. So if somebody eats half a burger and brings it up and says, yo, I didn't like it, let me make you a new one. What you want different on it? They always do that. And as you said, the high-velocity lifestyle they had been, if it was a downtime, so let's just say between dinner, late-night rush, or maybe between lunch and dinner, if it's slow, Ben, for at least a consistent 30 minutes to almost an hour, they'll send people home because there's nothing to do. That's how high-strung the environment is that they want you always going, and if there's nothing to go on and everything is spotlessly clean, they just start letting people go home early.
What, they call them back, though? Because what if people then show up?
Then that's where they suffer. It's all about trying to get the right management with the money spending for the employment. So basically, you have to time and guess it off of the... you're kind of guessing is the best way to say it. You're trying to think, okay, it's a Tuesday night. It's already 8 p.m. We've hit a lot of already the dinner rush. How many people are going to come through at night? Can I get through with these crew members? I know these guys can do multiple things. And it's like basically a giant Jenga puzzle. They're trying to figure out which way to go with employment to benefit themselves during the rushes. It was wild, dude. Wild environment.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's interesting.
You want another fun story about a job I had before Fox, Ben?
Well, of course. I don't want to hear about Fox. I want to hear about other
the Grand Vegan Adventures.
Yes, the life of the vegan.
So this is way before I ever learned about life, nutrition. This is back, I'd say, in my Big Ben days, before any of that.
Big eating?
Yeah. Oh, for sure, for sure. So this was a job I had that I would consider book worthy, if not movie worthy. So this was called a caretaker position, and it wasn't of older people. It was actually an estate. So the way I found this job, and before I get into it with you, I'll set it up perfectly. At the time, I was dating my ex, and she was working at an animal hospital. And so one of her coworkers was a dog trainer, had her own company, and she met a couple. It was a gay couple, a guy named Bruce and Rob. And so they were looking for somebody to be a caretaker of their estate. And they're very wealthy guys. They have like a ballroom gown collection. A big company was called Masquerade. They would make all the stuff in JCPenney's, you name it, from ballrooms to they even did like prom stuff, even special wedding dress orders, had a couple factories over in China. It was insane that their big polarization of their company. So they had an estate in Norco by me, Ben, which is like Horsetown, USA. I think you've heard of it, right?
Yes, I've actually driven through Norco.
Yes, it's three
been.
Exits.
It's far, far away out in the outskirts. It's
close.
You're not far from Riverside.
No.
Norco. It's closer to, which is out in the... Well, I consider the boondocks, but now I live kind of in the boondocks where I am now.
Same.
So, yeah.
And I'm about an hour from work, so that's exactly where I live is the Crone area right by Norco. And so in Norco, Ben, they had an estate. It was a four-acre property, three houses on the property, and they were looking for somebody to be the caretaker, which was a six-day-a-week job, early morning to late at night, so about 6 to 6. And your job was not only to take care of the estate, to do the maintenance work, to take care of the horses they had. They had two horses on the estate. They had a bunch of animals. They had goats, llamas, ostriches, chickens, you name it. They had an insane, it was like their own petting zoo, basically, at their estate. And so the job they wanted was not only to do all of that, take care of all the other stuff, micromanage the other employers that would come, the cleaning people, the pool people, you name it. And when they're gone, you're basically like the homeowner. You take care of everything while they're away, either for business or pleasure. And so I went for this interview, Ben. Keep in mind, I'm only 20 years old at the time, right? My ex just kind of have tossed the idea my way and said, they're looking for somebody, they like references, why not go look at it? Because this was when my ex and I were living at my mom's house at the time, and love my mom and everything, but at that time I was like, you know what, I think it's probably best if me and my ex find our own place. So I went and checked the place out, Ben. Unreal place. It was insane how massive the houses were, the whole estate. And I'm sitting there kind of rubbing my head like, can I handle all this? You know, like, this is pretty incredible, from going from like a part-time job at, I was working at America's Tires, to that. So I was like, sat down with them, talked to them. They loved my personality and everything. They were like, we hit it off. And they said, okay, we like you, but the youngest person we've ever hired for this job is 30 years old, they said. The youngest person we've ever hired is 30. He's like, you're about to be 21 in a few months. He's like, do you really think you can handle this? And so I kind of sat there, looked at him, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm the man for this job.
You went for it.
I went for it, right, man. And you know what?
Did you have to feed a llama?
Oh, everything. You fed every animal. You took care of...
Give me a list. Now, what kind of... A llama's not a normal pet.
No. What about an ostrich, Ben? They had ostriches, too.
An ostrich. Aren't ostriches... I've heard stories that they're very angry, that they kick you and they get upset. And I've also heard that myth, which I repeat all the time...
Which one?
Bury the head in the sand like an ostrich.
Yes, what, so they never
did
that.
Do that?
No,
they don't, no. I heard that's just urban legend.
I think so too. They never did that. But I will say, Bobby, the guy ostrich, he had a mad crush on me. He was always trying to sleep with me.
Really?
Yes.
He was flirtatious.
Oh, 100%. You have ever seen a mating dance that the ostriches do?
I have only spent a little time around ostriches. There is a place in, where is that? North of L.A. There's an ostrich farm. You can go and like check out the ostriches. But
that's dope.
Not spent a lot of time. Where is that? There's that little town north of L.A. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Yeah. Solvang.
Yes.
Solvang. You ever been to Solvang?
No.
The way to Solvang, in the town next to Solvang in north of L.A., there's an ostrich farm. But
no
so,
kidding.
So the ostrich, what is an ostrich? If the ostrich is feeling horny
for you
and wants to spend some quality time with you and make ostrich love with you, how awkward would that be? And how does that go? What's the move there? Head over heels in love.
You know what's funny, Ben? I think that's where they said burying the head in the other kind of sand, if you know what I mean. So what it would do, Ben, which was hysterical, it would drop on the floor. It would spread its wings out almost like a peacock does with the, I don't know if people know this, but the male peacocks actually have the feathers, not the female. And what they do is they bring them out and they show off all of the feathers and they do a dance. So what the ostrich does is it basically drops it to the floor, puckers its head up like almost like an arc, and then it flutters its feathers and kind of slaps his neck around on his wings to kind of like get you intrigued or maybe like draw endorphin.
Yeah, so that's like that's like the candlelight dinner.
Yes,
for the ostrich.
Exactly. And it's literally showing off all its stops, and it'll keep going if you're in front of it. But as soon as it starts to glance you walking away, it stops, jumps up, and runs after you. Like, bro, what up? You didn't like my dance?
This is the ostrich's way. Is hubba hubba hubba. Come on.
It's basically the Pepe Le Pew kind of thing, right?
And don't they have big eyes?
Huge.
Ostriches have, right? So
huge.
Not forget puppy dog eyes. These are giant ostrich eyes.
Huge, man. Like, make a fist. That's how big these eyes are on these ostriches.
That's pretty.
It was an insane job.
Crazy.
Insane. I would have
And
never
there's a lot of smells.
That.
I guess you must not be worried about the smells. I did spend some time. I went to a private zoo years ago. A relative had some dough. There was a private zoo. It wasn't like an individual owned it, but it was like private. You had to know somebody to get in.
Right.
I remember the smells being around the back side of the animals was rather repulsive.
I'd say, Ben, the worst part was the chicken coop. Oh, my Lord. I don't know what chickens is in that chicken feed. It looks like just seeds to me, but whatever that comes out of them, holy moly, all the good smell must go in the eggs then, because it was disgusting, my guy. I don't know why it was just the chickens. Everything else was all right. You get used to it.
Now, is that what led you to become... a vegan. The smell
you know
of
what?
The chicken.
I never thought of it that way, but I think that might have been a small part. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You didn't read a book. There's some book that I've heard that if people read that book, it's so powerful, so sinister.
Interesting.
That it will turn you to the vegan lifestyle.
Really?
In fact, there was a guy, a baseball player, Prince Fielder, who I think he read that book. Maybe he watched a movie, but there was something, I thought it was the book, and there's some book that you read, and you say, oh, I can't.
Oh, you know what? It might be a Netflix special called, like, Cow's Inc. or something. Have you heard of that one? It's like basically where they show you the whole process of the dairy industry and the butchering industry for cows and beef.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that. I don't know what it was, but it was something. And I remember there was a documentary I saw called Big Chicken, I think was. Did you see that one?
The Big Chicken documentary? I haven't heard that.
Yeah. And that was about how corrupt the chicken industry is in America and all that stuff.
I wouldn't doubt it, man. I just know for a fact when you
see that. Chicken farmers get screwed and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember from watching the stuff I've seen, and it wasn't even what led me to my ultimate change in my lifestyle. It was more health reasons and just overall well-being. But I've seen some of those things, Ben, and it's like, man, if majority of people say that, I think when you look at that chicken nuggets on the side of your chicken sandwich, Ben, you might be like, oof, I don't know if this price increase is worth the pay now.
Yeah, well, no, like with the whole Big Chicken thing, we did a whole podcast last year.
Did you really?
Yeah, last year, right around the time the COVID stuff started, because this documentary was amazing. Morgan Spurlock, the documentary maker, made it, and it was just like they went over like the 20 billion chickens around the globe that amazing numbers there. That like it was insane.
I wouldn't doubt it.
People go through 43 pounds of chicken per second.
You're kidding me.
There's 3.7 million pounds per day that are consumed. It's
Holy
insane.
Moly, man.
The volume in Big Chicken. and they fatten them up with all kinds of things to make the
hormones,
really fat.
All that other stuff that gets them nice and juicy and plump for you.
They say if a human, I remember this from the documentary, if a human grew at the rate of a modern-day broiler chicken, a two-month-old baby would weigh 660 pounds. So these things,
no way.
Yeah, like these things within 6 weeks, they can be massive. Like they've mastered the art through science. They've figured out how to get them tremendously fat,
holy
plump. I'm sure they do the same thing with turkey, right?
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not doing this tonight. I eat chicken all the time. You're the vegan. I'm not.
Right.
And I've taken the position here in my life that I don't want to know where my food comes from. And that's not only for like meat. That's for other stuff. If I knew where my mayonnaise or my ketchup came from and what was involved in that, I probably wouldn't eat that either.
It's ignorance is bliss. You're not wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
I think that's for myself, Ben, when I start having these random little health problems, like, for example, swollen glands, because I have like abnormal sized glands in under my mouth area, so they just produce a lot of a saliva. I kept like looking in for reasons. I was like, okay, so why is this happening? Went to doctors, specialists, you name it. Everybody's conducting tests. One guy even took like a chip out of my lip, Ben, to like test to see if my antibodies were attacking my cells and my glands, and that's why they were inflamed, and all of these things under the sun, and nobody had an answer. So I finally like took it under myself, and I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just go back to the source of like, what am I ingesting? What am I putting in my body? And I kid you not, the biggest thing for myself, and it might help somebody out there that's listening, if you ever suffer with like saliva or any type of acne or a lot of producing of mucus, was dairy. Dairy was the biggest thing for myself.
So you got rid of the milk and the cheese and all that stuff, and you're...
The body just couldn't break it. Yeah, it couldn't break it down. It was just thus turning into mucus, and it wasn't able to digest it. And so cutting that out entirely, your body's like, hey, bro, thank you for letting us turn the car off for a little bit. And ever since then, Ben, you can't really just go back when you find open waters, right?
Well, speaking of diet, Alex, I got to say here, now I got several messages from members in the Maller Militia here that were busting my balls because the Times of London did a story this week. I don't know if you saw this or not. The Times of London did a story debunking the intermittent fasting diet.
Interesting.
Yeah. They pretty much claimed that there's no advantage, that it doesn't work any better or worse than any other diet. The 5-2 diet, they said it's no more likely to serve up success than any other diet.
Really?
I say is bullshit.
Oh,
okay?
For sure.
I say that's bullshit. Now, they claimed also that we're part of a cult if you're in this diet. And
what?
I have tried every diet on the planet. As a recovering morbidly obese individual, at my fattest, I was close to 500 pounds. I went for it in life.
Big bomb.
And
ladder.
I tried every diet, and this is the one. Now, I lost a lot of weight without doing intermittent fasting. And then I gained it back once I stopped doing what I was doing.
Yep.
And so, but this has been able, I've been able to maintain my weight and lost more weight with intermittent fasting. So yes. I am a big believer in it. And I know all these guys love busting my balls, but you also live a similar life, right? You
100%.
You follow that model. You don't eat that much. You eat once a day or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Once to twice a day. And I would say that science or whatever the backing was to support that is complete bullshit, Ben. It's, to me, that sounds like people were trying to have a biased perspective of what they wanted to accomplish with that narrative behind it. And to me, I'm a proud supporter of intermittent fasting because, like you said myself, everything I tried when I was getting into the workout lifestyle of eating more chicken and rice, upping your carbohydrate intake, trying to make yourself eat 4 to 5 meals a day, all this bull crap. And you basically try to realize, okay, so what is the like premise of nutrition and what does my body need, and less is more. So for myself, I know you probably said it as well, I only eat 1 to 2 meals a day, and that's within a 6-hour window, and then the rest of the time I don't touch food, not at all, just water, tea, that's it. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, not only does it help me maintain my weight that I'm at, but it allows me within those 6 hours, if I want to splurge, I can, because then you have nothing else to overcome what you're already doing consistently, and your body has the ability to break down the foods properly to digest the actual nutrient value within it. And also, it's like a car. Once you turn off the engine for about 12 hours, the next 4 hours, it can actually clean your body. Now, I don't know if people know this, Ben, this might be a conspiracy theory here, but your body has the ability to heal itself and clean itself out of diseases, bacteria, and all of that if you give it a chance to. Might be a theory there for you, Ben.
Look at that. I like it. No, I occasionally, during the week, I usually eat once a day, and I'll skip, I try to skip two days where I'll go like 45 to 48 hours without eating and try to get to
fasting. I love it.
That's the science on that claims it's you're burning the most, you're losing weight. There's that sweet spot. Once you fast for, I think it's 13 hours, after that, your body kind of goes into the mode where it starts burning fat.
Absolutely.
And I believe it because I've seen the results, so I believe it. I think the issue with people trying to debunk the diet like the Times of London, my theory is it's because with any life, this is more of like a lifestyle thing, but anything you change, if you're cheating on it, going in the fridge and eating 3-day-old meatloaf or that takeout box of General Tso's chicken,
right,
you're not being true to the lifestyle. 100%. I mean, you've got to be pretty regimented, and if you go off that, and people are fallible and make mistakes, right?
Humans
are prone to error, and so the diet's not going to work for you.
Sure.
If you do a fasting diet and you're snacking and you're not following the diet, then it's not going to
work. It doesn't work.
Yeah,
because
it's simple math. It's
sure.
Just calories in, calories out, whatever.
For sure. It's like the whole narrative people say, like if a tree falls in the woods, Ben, does it make a sound if no one's there to hear it? It's the same thing. If you're in the kitchen by yourself eating Oreo cookies, you're putting the calories on. I don't care if nobody's there to see it.
Or, Alex, if you do a radio show overnight and no one's awake, does anyone hear it? That's the question.
Well, I think at times, Ben. But no, like you really bring on a good point. And I tell people this all the time, especially if anybody's interested in health because of how I've changed not only the things that were damaging my body, but how I turned out to live. You don't need to go extreme and go all plant-based or anything like that. It's just like moderations on things to overall help yourself and your outlook on life. So as you said, if you do simplicities of just making sure you eat within a certain window, whether it be 8 hours or 6 hours, treat it like a job in a sense. So you know from, let's say, 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., this is the time I can eat food. And if you follow that consistently for at least 2 months, you will see your body not only change with its energy levels, the digestion rate, the nutrients you get, your overall physique. It's insane how much a simple thing of just when you eat can change everything. I think that's why, Ben, you know this too. There's a reason why the first meal we eat is called breakfast, because you're breaking a fast. And fasting is very important. It's why they talk about in the Bible and throughout all of time, fasting has been a big staple.
Well, but also the modern breakfast is a creation. People eat is a creation of a big business trying to sell cereal.
Yes.
So you've got that also. And it's one of my favorite. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but the slogan, which is repeated, breakfast is the most important meal of the day,
right,
was a catchphrase that the guy that sold Kellogg's cereal back in the day, he was like, hey, we got to sell more cereal. And so this is a marketing slogan. It was ingenious.
It is.
it has become part of the zeitgeist of the society. Golly. Generations passed on to generation. You better eat breakfast. It's the most important meal
for
of the day.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's hysterical to me.
For a long time, people didn't eat breakfast.
No. My mom's side, Ben, I don't know if I told you this, my whole family is from outside of the country. So my mom, I'm the firstborn on both sides. My mom is from Macedonia, and my dad is from Germany. And so in Macedonia culture, they don't even really eat breakfast. Their big thing is dinner. They have a nice dinner when everybody gets home, and that's pretty much it. Light meal on the way out, kind of maybe a little bit of a lunch, but it's mostly like they combine lunch and dinner and have one big meal at the end of the day.
Yeah, incredible. Well, I guess we're sounding like we're in a cult here. Maybe
you
Jonestown.
Think so?
What's your favorite cult? Heaven's Gate, your Branch Davidians, maybe you're a Manson guy. I don't know.
That's
funny. But no, I really I buy it, and I see these stories. Well, this is not true. Well, you can say it's not true, but for me it's true. Maybe for other people it's not true,
sure.
And for you it's worked out pretty well.
100%. So. I think it's more so, as you said, it's like, what are you trying to get out of it in anything in life? Yeah. Are you true to it or not? That's what it'll make.
There you go. I completely agree. I want to get back to your role, though.
Yes.
I call you the glue guy.
Sure.
At Fox Sports Radio. And you work, I'm trying to get your schedule. I know you work on the Jason Smith Show and the Rob Parker, Chris Broussard Show.
Yes,
are those
the
your
odd
two
couple.
Main shows? Is that what you're usually doing?
Yeah, I've been everywhere around this network, Ben. But as of right now, that is the consistent where I'll do the 3 to 7. Four to seven, which is the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. And then I'll do the 7 to 11, and this is all Pacific time, with Jason Smith and Mike Harmon. And then occasionally fill in on the TV side for Colin Cowherd when they need a good-looking face once in a while. So
yeah, so we need to get to that, because as the glue guy, you know you're in the inner circle, Alex, when you get the call from the OG, Colin Cowherd's people.
Right.
And they say, we're going to the bullpen, we're tapping the arm here, we need to bring in, out of the bullpen, Alex, to come in here and help out. Because that, for those that don't know, Alex, we do the show from one studio, the Fox Sports Radio. Most of the shows come out of one studio. But Colin does, it's a TV show that happens to be on the radio, and so he does his show from the Fox lot. We used to have our studios, we used to have all the shows would occasionally work out of the Fox lot. I did in the early days of Fox Sports Radio. I was there all the time. It's a different world, though, right? I mean,
yes.
Night and day. Describe the difference between working the regular Fox Sports Radio shows and then the Holy Grail, the Colin Cowherd show.
You know what's funny is, like, to me, when I come into the studios for radio, it's so laid back. Everybody's in sweatpants. There's only a few people here, especially the COVID days. And all you have to do is just scan your card at the front, lets you in the gate. You park your car, scan your car key to get in right into the building here and just set up for the show. Get to sit down, a couple little studios. It's all available and open. The Fox lot, Ben, is a world of its own. I kid you not. When you're driving up to this place, not only does it have billboards upon billboards on the outside, these massive gates that looks like it's the Great Wall of China, and I'm about to have to scale this to get to the other side. As soon as you drive in, there is a horde of security people everywhere. The gates, they have to say, can I see some ID? Can I get your name? Who are you here for? What show? It's insane. I feel like I'm literally about to go into the X-Files or go over to Area 51 and find out the deepest, darkest secrets of the world, dude. Just to fill in for a TV show, right? So
yeah.
You finally go in. They have this massive parking structure. That's insane how deep it goes. I don't even know how deep it goes. Maybe to the ends of the earth. So I'll park on the first level. Usually I sleep in my car for a couple hours because I live so far away, so I'm trying to beat traffic. So I'll wake up. You walk out. It's a massive open area. They have their own restaurant. They have their own gym. I mean, you name it, Ben. They have like a whole area where if the world was to end, people say Costco. I'm going to the Fox lot. There's everything I need there. And there's so many massive gates. Good luck even breaking the facility. It's insane, dude. Like, they literally have so much stuff in this area. And keep in mind, Ben, not only did I go through the first security, once you walk through the lavish area, you got a whole nother round of security guys to go through now to get into the actual TV part. So I was like, hold up. What? I just had to go through that to park? But now I got to go through this to get inside. It's insane, dude.
It is nuts. It's its own ecosystem.
For sure.
And I'm very fortunate because I'm old, I guess. But when we had the access, when I had access to the Fox lot, I was there on September 11th.
No kidding.
Yes, I was working at the Fox lot that day. And before 9/11, holy crap, it was amazing,
just walk in?
Alex. Well, you didn't walk in. You had to have a pass, but there was like one security guard at the front, and it was just a gate, one of those arm bar things that would go down, whatever. But I had the run of the place. And I have such great memories of running around the back lot there where you have all the New York skyline, yes. And they have the little, how would you describe it? They film a bunch of TV shows and movies. It's a movie lot. And back in those days, they didn't really care. You know, I just walked around and I'd have friends come into town from out of town. I'm like, hey, I'll take you to the Fox lot. You can walk around the New York skyline. And it was awesome. It was great. You know, it was like you were in the movies, you know, wandering around.
100%.
And you got to see what was behind that stuff. And then 9/11 happened. And I remember coming back after a few days after 9/11, and it was like a demilitarized zone immediately. Just within a couple of days, you had to zigzag because they worried about car bombers. And on September 11th, you mentioned that big parking garage. They came in, they told us being on the West Coast, we started after the attacks had happened, but we didn't realize at that time, we didn't know the impact. I started in the morning before it really came to light what exactly was going on here. And so they had us all get out. Anybody that was parked in the garage, we had to move our car out of the garage to somewhere else because they were worried about some kind of attack. They didn't know if they were going to attack the movie studios or anything like that. And so we had to move our cars. It was surreal.
No way.
I have great memories of that place, though, because before the big security days, a different world, just wandering. Have you had a chance? Have you been able to wander around, or is that off limits?
Well, I used to be able to, but now with like the COVID thing, it's like up another level from demilitarized base to now an actually military base with testing facilities and everything everywhere. So before this happened, yes, I have wandered around and looked at it, and it's almost like if I was to go back to then, if I started a TikTok account back then, I could have been somebody by just doing different skits from the locations they had available.
Oh, it's great. You can be anywhere in the world just wandering around the movie lot there. It's awesome. And that lot is in a very congested part of Los Angeles in West LA, where the real estate's pretty pricey there. It's not far from Beverly Hills and Century City's right there. And that's some very expensive real estate.
It's very bougie, yes.
I'm surprised they've kept it there. I'm surprised they haven't gone out to the boondocks and built new studios, because that real estate is very pricey, Alex.
You think they have like a returning membership discount? So they've been there for so long, they kind of keep the original price?
Yeah, I don't know how that works, but everyone's trying to cut back on money these days.
Right.
You can save a lot of money and sell that to some real estate broker and you can build houses there. But part of the charm, one of the things about living in L.A., though, is part of the charm is you're never that far away from a movie studio.
Right.
You're not that far away, and that's part of the razzmatazz.
That's so funny to me.
L.A. You're not into the making the movies and all that. I used to be more into it than I am now.
You know, for myself, Ben, I've never been one of those guys that was really into entertainment factor with movies and anything. As you know, I'm a big anime guy and everything, but to me, it's like the glitz and glamour of the L.A. lifestyle, and I think it's more so like the Vegas, the lights and sounds, and you get so caught up into it. But once you get there, you're like, okay, it's going to take me an hour to go two blocks away. There's people everywhere. The prices are outlandish. It's almost like once you really get the gist of it and the honeymoon phase fades, since I live so close by, it's like, you know what? I think I'll avoid it on the weekends just so I can actually enjoy my time and position where I'm at, personally, at least.
No, I hear you. Totally. Yeah. And you end up taking friends when they come in from out of town.
Sure.
Let's do the Hollywood Walk of Fame and look at all the homeless people begging for money and shitting and pissing on the street.
Dude, it's
a great time.
Ben, have you been to Venice lately? Holy crap,
I can only imagine. It was bad before. I can only imagine now.
Ben, when COVID hit and they shut down like the places for people that are homeless to stay at, it looked like a tsunami blew through Venice Beach and all of the junk was left over there. These people are hordes of them, Ben. It blew my mind when I went to see it. Holy crap.
And when I lived in LA proper, I loved Venice Beach. It's one of the great spots
Same.
To people watch. It's like you're at the zoo. You're watching other people.
Only it's a free ticket, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a free ticket, and it's just the vibe. I loved it. I heard somebody told me, a buddy of mine who lives down there told me that, I don't know if this is still the case, that they turned some of the parking garages where they just allowed they have a lot of parking there.
No way.
They allow the homeless to like sleep there. They made it into like a not a homeless shelter because it's not a shelter, but it's
sure.
People have been putting tents in there and stuff, and they were camping out inside the parking garage. It's like a shanty town.
Man, hey, if they have somewhere safe to sleep, I can't be against that.
Yeah. Well, LA in general, like downtown Los Angeles, it is, my goodness, what a nightmare.
Dude.
I think they finally started to clean that up a little bit. The political class finally realized that there's a lot of people paying good amounts of money in property taxes. You might, they don't think they want to live in a third world environment. You might want to help take care of this. And it's a problem. I mean, obviously, because of the weather in California is great.
Sure.
There's more homeless people now also.
Sure, sure.
Because of everything going on with the economy and all that stuff. And
I'm with
there's
you.
People that don't want to work. There's also people that just want to live out of a duffel bag.
Dude, Ben, I don't know if you know this per se where your area is, but where I'm at, yeah. I'm close to Ontario where it's all the warehouses. Like there's a huge Amazon facility. Any big company you can think of, they have their warehouses. Yeah. When I drive down to, say, my friend's house to record our podcast and stuff or just to go out and about, I've never seen in my life these many for hire signs, wanted signs. It's insane, bro. I have never seen it this bad to where if I, like, God forbid, something happened, I'd have a job in a day, Ben. I could go to 17 places in under 5 minutes from my house. It's insane to me.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, like, people think, oh, you work in radio, you're never going to do it. No, I feel comfortable. At any moment, as you know, being in radio, Alex, I could say something that will get me fired.
100%.
Right? This is a loaded weapon. I'm talking into a megaphone, and if the person hears it that is offended by it and raises hell, I'm out. I'm gone.
For
and
sure.
So I'd be like, well, I'll get a regular job. I'm not against that. I've always said I'll work at Costco or something like that. Maybe I'll get a job at In-N-Out like you used to work at. But I'm willing to work. I'm a worker. I like to work.
Same.
And I feel a little – it's wrong. I don't know if it's wrong to say this or not, but when I see all these employment, hey, I'll work, that means like, hey, I can get a job if I have to. Like if I need
right.
– I got bills to pay, and if I can't work where I'm working now, I can go work wherever. And
right.
And so that's the way to go. I see a lot of Amazon. I think Amazon, I don't know
bro.
They pay very well, but they...
decent?
I'd get in on that to do the stock.
Yes.
To get the Amazon stock.
Well, they
that's
also have Amazon airports now that they're building for shipping, like UPS and USPS and stuff. They're making their own mailing facilities and stuff for also shipping their products around the world. So they're buying up airplanes and making up their own airports. It's insane. Amazon's taking over the world.
Yeah. Now, are you an anti-Amazon here? They have the there's some people very upset with them. I'm not upset with Amazon. I'm not. They deliver a service.
Right.
People like the service. They're apparently good at it
because yes.
people continue to pay for the service. So I'm fine with it. And now there should be some kind of guardrails because you can't.
That's
you don't
want to
have
thing.
The mega where they overtake everything. And there's a sweet spot where you're okay. And
sure.
I think when everything's Amazon, it becomes a problem. But I, generally speaking, I'm fine.
You know what's funny for myself is, as you said, I've never really been an anti-anything guy because I don't believe in telling anybody how to live their life, just giving people options. I think that's the best way so people can learn. I can tell you not to jump off that bridge, Ben, but until you somehow try to, you won't know why I'm telling you not to. It's just the way the world goes.
Well, yes, and also like laws don't stop people
for
from
sure,
doing things.
For
There's
sure.
a belief that if you put more laws in for anything, people always bring up the gun thing.
Which blows my mind.
Yeah,
the gun thing,
but just
for example.
But just in general, like, you know, people that follow the law aren't going to break the law. Rape and murder have been illegal for as long as I can remember.
Oh, for sure.
But people still rape and people still murder. So I guess it makes people feel better, though. Laws
yes.
make people feel better.
Well, no, right? You're actually right. You brought that up. I'll do this quick side tangent for you. I read this study that was conducted on elementary kids in different locations for recess playtime. So the two different areas they had was one was an open field. It was more like, I think, Central America, somewhere where there was just a lot of forestation and an open range area for them to play at playtime, where they went to more of like industrial kind of like suburb kind of areas where they actually had gated play areas for the kids. So they conducted the research to see what the kids did during the playtime and how comfortable they felt. And they've noticed that in the areas where all the kids had the freedom to go as far as they want, to go as run around, play, whatever they wanted to do, they all stayed extremely close to the teachers because they felt there was too much out there. As comparison to the suburb ones where they had the gated off areas, the kids would go to the ends of the gates everywhere they could because they felt felt comfortable in a boxed off area. So they felt they were safer knowing their limitations other than the kids who had the freedom to go as far as they want. Funny how you mentioned that with laws, right? How it makes people feel safer.
Yeah.
I think it's funny because as you mentioned, like the whole gun thing and everything too, it's like it seems like such a simple concept for me. Guns aren't killing people. It's people are killing people. So the availability, Ben, say you and me right now, we had a heated debate talking about Tom Brady and he's the greatest of all time. And you didn't think so. If there's a gun between us, Ben, no one in our right mind should ever think to use a gun to dispute an argument, no matter how emotionally deranged either of us get. Right.
Yeah, no, I agree. But that's a third rail, my man.
Oh, my
that's
bad,
a third
my
rail, Taji. You got off the third rail.
Back to Amazon, my man, then. I think that for sure, I have no issue with monopolizing situations. It's just that when it gets to such an extreme where people are reliant on it and then just don't go down the street to their family-owned businesses or stuff, you can get it available and build connections with people, like build friendships. I know you can agree with this, Ben. Radio, it's all about who you know, especially in any concept of life. I can name you 10 people off the top of my head, Ben, that work at fast food joints, the gyms I go to, the grocery stores I go to, and I've built such good friendships with them. They are more so prioritized to not only take care of you, but to help you, and it feels like a family environment. I love that, and I feel like Amazon can hurt that a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah, well, the secret to life is it's not what you know, it is who you know. That's it.
And I preach by that.
It's very frustrating, and I always point out I try to point out to people, like, I've worked with people in radio that have been complete assholes to everybody, and I'm like, what are you doing here? I mean, as the old saying goes, right, the same people you're going to see on the way up are the same people you're going to see on the way down, and they're not going to treat you very well on the way down
right.
If you were an asshole on the way up. So just, you know, try to be okay. And I being in radio for a long time now, it was on my list. I hope this would happen, and I've been in long enough, where people that were interns and producers when I was getting in are now program directors and now running radio stations.
That's so
cool.
And
so these are people that if I needed a job, I could call them up, and they know me, and they don't hate me for whatever reason. So it's amazing how fast life goes in general.
I agree.
You don't realize it when you're in your, you know, very young starting out, but
sure.
Bam, in the blink of an eye, you're like, wait a minute, now I'm like middle-aged or something like that, and now like, whoa, holy Moses. Can't believe it. So.
I can attest to that, Ben. I'm 31 now, and so when I was in high school, up till I graduated almost, I'd say beginning of college years, life felt extremely slow. I can take you back to an hour of Algebra 2 class, and it felt like an eternity, Ben. Comparison to now, a whole month will fly by doing radio and stuff here, and I look back, I'm like, holy crap, it's already going to be December. That's insane to me, how when you get in the flux of your daily rotation, especially when you do something you love, per se, time just keeps flowing without you noticing. It's so cool to me.
Yeah. Well, there have been studies on that. I think it's something to do with when you're a kid, your perception of time is different because you haven't been alive that long. And the longer you've been alive, the quicker things go. But I do believe in the keep your head down method.
Sure.
And one foot in front of the other. And being in radio and working day in and day out and just kind of time, you're in like this weird time bubble.
I agree with you.
Situation.
Now, you know what's? I was going to say real quick about how, as you said, taking care of people too, Ben, is because one day they could be your boss. I think if everybody lived with the notion of just pushing it forward and just being a good person, bro, who knows where it'll take you, especially with the friends and family you build. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't need all these the woke this, the woke. Just be nice to people. It's not that hard. You don't need all these freight, you know, all these other bull crap that people come up with.
Dude.
Just treat other people nice. That's it. You don't have to be a dick, you know. And you don't have to, you don't need special treatment because of this, that, and the other. Just treat people nicely. That's it. It's not that hard.
Even if they disagree with you, Ben, it's fine to just be like, you know what? I can agree to disagree, but I still love you for a person. It's very simple to me, man.
Well, that's what I always say. I listen, like with Looney, who doesn't work at our place anymore, the Tom Looney, yeah, but like with him, he's a, you know, I call him a limousine liberal, and I'm more on the
sure.
conservative, more on the conservative side.
Same,
but we would debate, you know, side by side. And I love Looney. Looney's one of my good friends. I've known him for many, many years. But you know, he's around my age or whatever, and we can debate, and we just like, you know, he thinks I'm an idiot, I think he's an idiot, and we're fine
for sure.
And but it's just politics. Who cares? You know,
that's
it's not
what I'm
that
saying.
Big a deal.
It shouldn't drive families families apart. Like, for example, with the Trump era, when we actually had him as president, you know how many families broke up over that, Ben? That's insane to me. Like, the fact people always say politics, religion, and I don't know whatever it was, you can't talk about it or people get hot. Why? What's wrong with thinking differently, Ben? Tell me.
Yeah. No, you've got cooties or something. Yeah. You think a weird way or something. It's like, come on.
It cracks me up, man.
Knock it off. Yeah. And then you, only your thoughts are right.
For sure.
You know, nobody else can be right. Only you're correct. Now, I have to mention before we put the baby to bed here,
yes,
you are an anime star. In a way, right? Now, I don't know much about anime. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know much about it. I've seen it a few times.
Sure.
But you live in this world, which is a foreign world to me.
Yes, it is.
And we've talked, because I talk to you four nights a week. I don't know if it's Sunday you're not in. But
right, right.
Sunday to Monday. But I talk to you most of the week, and you have told me little nuggets about this anime. You've got a podcast that you do. You go to anime conventions. Like, there's a whole different world that I don't know much about. So explain it to me like I'm 5 years old, the world that you're in here.
For sure. So basically, you remember, Ben, when we were growing up and we watched cartoons like WB, or you had Looney Tunes or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Same concept. It's basically like these are animations made from an Eastern culture. That's why they call it anime. And the whole realm about it that I'm entranced with and I love is the fact that you can create a story from nothing, give me characters that have such a vast range of not only developing themselves, but overcoming these obstacles to show you referencing to relatability with your own life. But the world development is so monstrous within these realms. It is basically like the modern day video gaming aspect of how entrancing it can be and involving with kids who get into it. So myself, I grew up watching all of it because when I was growing up here in the States, we had things like Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, and these were like the first origins of anime that was introduced to us because we're so used to animation, which is, and it sounds crazy, but I know anime and animation. Animation is Western where anime is Eastern, but it's off the same basic development style, just different type of artworks and producers. So we grew up with like Disney Channel and all that other stuff where the other side had their own development, which is more deep with Naruto and Dragon Ball Z, and those shows blew up so much within the recent 5 years. I'm so excited for it because I think a lot of people have overlooked them because they think it's kiddie or they think it's something more for children, when it necessarily, I've met so many adults in my life or people that are even older than me, Ben, that have been into anime way longer than me, that are some of the best people you'll ever meet, and the community itself is in transit because these people think so open-mindedly because of the type of environments these shows give you, whereas more modern day TV is more reality TV, which I could argue I think does a little bit more harm than good. So I kind of developed myself into this lifestyle. And since I've been given a platform, working with great people like yourself and being able to entrance myself with the world and the culture, I wanted to envelop it and bring it more of attention to other people who are outside of it, or give people a home and somewhere they can be entertained and learn more informational base if they're involved within it. So as you said, the beginning of this year, I went to Texas. I flew all the way out there because we got invited to a convention to host a panel for this environment to bring people's attention to that. There's podcasting, there's YouTube, there's entertainers and people who are building a platform for themselves to be that spokesperson, just like we have with the sports realm with yourself, or we have with Ryan Seacrest with music, or Steve Harvey with entertainment. There's a whole nother realm that people don't even realize, Ben, and I'll say it here first with your show. Within the next 5 years, Ben, anime is going to skyrocket here. It is going to be insane how big it blows up.
And you're going to be the Ryan Seacrest.
That's
of
the goal,
anime
man.
World. So someday I will be able to brag, Alex, that we had you on this podcast because you. No, I'm not. Listen, you're going to become such a big deal in that world that we won't be able to book you.
Oh, you
know, it's not going to happen. You'll blow up and you'll be gone from Fox Sports Radio. I'll be able to say, that guy used to work at Fox Sports Radio.
Ben, I'll tell you right now on this show, you have my phone number. I will always make time for you. That is a promise.
You change your number, though. You get famous.
Then I can't promise anything.
that's what happens. Yeah. I've had friends that have blown up, and then they're like, oh, I can't get a hold of you. Your number changed. What happened? I don't understand.
No, I promise you, Ben. I definitely do. And I think like this is why it's a great time, and I thank you for asking me about it. I think people, it's like until you give something a try or see something from a different perspective, that's why racism exists. That's why poverty. That's why separation exists, because people just don't give something another opportunity to. And I fondly will tell you here, Ben, anime is a great realm. That's why I love it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And you want to promote your podcast? How can people, if they're interested and want to
Oh,
sample,
for sure. Yeah, for
sample
sure.
Sample your podcast. How can they find
Thank you for that. So we have we do it on any platform you can search for it, iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, you name it. It's just three simple words. It's Weeb, W-E-E-B, not weed. I know Rob Parker's like, Weed Nation, I don't
My
smoke.
Man, you gotta smoke the weed.
Well, California-based, and that's what they do. It's Weeb, W-E-E-B, Weeb Nation Podcast. And it was something that me and my buddy started together in this exact studio I'm sitting doing this with you now, Ben, as just okay. a fun thing we wanted to do. I told him, like, I have studios available. This is before COVID. Why don't we just come up in here, chop it up, have some fun, talk anime. And now within just a little over a year, Ben, we've hit 100,000 plays. We have fans from all over the world, and it's been sensational, man. I couldn't
that's
be more
great.
Blessed.
Listen, I'm happy for you, and that you can brag that you started that podcast. You were recording that right across the hall from me doing the show.
Yes.
I remember you'd be in there after your shift. You'd be across the hall. And that's the old Casey Kasem studio, radio
no
legend
shit.
Casey Kasem. He recorded his top 40 countdown show right across from where, which is now our podcast studio.
No way.
The room you're in, yeah. The great Casey Kasem. In fact, in that hallway is where I almost killed Casey Kasem. I eventually died, but
wait,
I almost
what?
Killed him. Yeah, so it's one of my favorite FSR stories. So back in the day, I was filling in with Chris Myers. He was doing a midday show. And I was a pretty big guy, and during the day, Casey Kasem would be in there, the radio legend, Hall of Famer, recording his top 40 countdown. This guy was a voiceover actor in Scooby Dooby Doo, right? He was, I think he was Shaggy, right?
Wasn't yeah,
he
Shaggy I think so. Scooby-Doo?
Anyway, so I ran to the bathroom as much as I could run, and I finished taking care of business, and I hear that there, for some reason, I timed it wrong, and they were coming back from the commercial, and so I had to get back in the studio because Chris, I was doing the show with Chris, and so I started trying to run as much as I could, and I ran, and I ran down the hall. I make the right turn, then I go to make the left, and just at the time I go to make it was the left and then the right,
yes.
The left and then the right. So I made the left and then the right, and Casey Kasem, a very small man, very petite man, at this point very old man, very frail man, he happens to be standing there and I'm running. He looks at me like, oh my God, there's an oncoming train. Like, and I'm heading right towards him. And if I had run him over, I would have probably gone to jail and would have been on TMZ for killing a radio legend. But I used the swim technique, a football technique, and I was able to just barely, I put my arm up, kind of moved my body as much as I could, and I just got around Casey Kasem.
No way.
I did not make the contact, and so
I
lived to talk another day.
That's incredible.
I lived to talk another day. But he worked right there. It's awesome that's our podcast hub.
I had no
right
idea.
There. And then where you started.
Yeah.
The anime podcast.
It's so cool to think about. I think like the best star-studded story I have is just running into Steve Harvey in the halls here. Where it's just, he has like his 50 different people with him because it's all the radio people, his producers, his talent agency, and they're all fully suited at like 3 a.m. and I walk by and they're like, what's up, baby? I'm like, hey, just chilling, man, doing radio. What you up to? So much fun, man.
Yeah, I ran into Steve Harvey in the parking lot one time. He pointed out how nice the Mallermobile was. He
Did
said,
he really?
That's a good, yes, he said, that's a good color car. He was talking to one of his security guys.
Oh, but, no way.
Yeah, Steve was great. But Steve's one of my favorite celebrities, and he happened to be, he doesn't do the show out of there anymore, I don't
no,
think.
No, COVID days, yeah.
Yeah, he would be in there a couple times a week, and he was nice. He's wearing like a jumpsuit, you know, just
yeah.
kind of relaxed, chill guy. And
besides him, I would say Snoop Dogg. When I was at the Fox lot, he was leaving the First Things First or whatever the show was before Colin. And so he was leaving. I was walking in, and he was like, what up, nephew? I was like, just chilling out. How you doing? I'm his nephew.
That's nice.
I'm chilling, Ben.
There you go. All right. I think we exceeded the limits here of time,
100%.
Space, and all that. You promoted the podcast. Anything else? You're on Twitter. People want to say hello to you on there.
Oh,
how can
for
they
sure.
track you down?
Yeah, definitely, Ben. On Twitter, I believe it's just Alex_Tyshirt, my name, and especially like Instagram and all that stuff too. It's just Alex_TEICHERT. And also, Ben, if you are somebody who needs some motivation or some help or just something to get you through the days or to change your perspective, I also do a life podcast, which is called Shallow Oceans Podcast. So I'm a man of many talents, Ben.
Look at that. And you don't really have the sports gene, but you work at Fox Sports Radio, which I love. I love that you're not a hard-o sports guy.
Not at all. I always tell my friends, like, when they ask me about the sports realm entertainment, I always tell them, man, I'm just the most talented guy you've never heard of. That's what I do.
Yeah. Well, I tell people when they say, hey, what do you think about sports? I say, well, I don't. That's work.
Good
I
man.
Don't talk about
good man.
That. That's work.
I just use the excuse I don't watch.
Well, that's good, too. Well, some of the hosts could also say that.
Which is
a slight problem. But anyway. All right. Well, thank you, Alex. You're the man. And appreciate it. And tell a friend, 5 stars on the podcast. 5 stars on the podcast.
You got it, Ben.
And don't forget, on the Saturday podcast, we will be debuting the new sidekick on the Fifth Hour podcast. So stay tuned. Who is it going to be? Well, we let the cat out of the bag early, but you'll find out on Saturday. Until then, have a great rest of your holiday weekend. See you later.